Good afternoon, everybody. This is Billy Neely, and this is another podcast of the Who Was the Real Billy Neely. One of the things I want to talk about today is addiction. Myself, I'm definitely a person that can speak on addiction. I took my life and let what was going on in my life just supersede what I needed to do and utilize addiction as a way to cope with my demons, my anger, and just my day-to-day, problems in life. Addiction, it affects our spirits, our mind, and our body. A good way with a spiritual effect is, an addict ultimately replaces God as the center of their life with something or someone else. For me, I did that by, replacing everything with alcohol. That's all I wanted, and basically all I wanted to do to get my mind off things. And some of the things with, the mind effect, it's repeated patterns of poor decisions, and it makes the addiction stronger and disrupts your thinking. I could sit back and talk days and days about, my thinking, because definitely, my head was not there during my times of addiction and stuff like that. I would focus on the next time I could get drunk and messed up more than just worrying about what I needed to do in life. It affects your body. These poor decisions, it adds stress to your body. Anxiety. It shows that, not shows, but it takes and slows down your metabolism, and in so many different ways, blood pressure, your heart. I mean, it goes on and on. I just want to talk about addiction today because, I'm a person that was addicted to alcohol and still don't want to, or I don't want to say was, but, was an alcoholic, and, every day I still crave it, but I just don't have the urge to continue with that crave. And, I started out with alcohol first as just a recreational user. In high school, I would go hang out with what I thought was so-called friends and go out and drink and just party and just, be a crazy teenager. And, these things went into my early military days. I was at my first duty station assignment, and I'd already gotten in trouble with alcohol. I was in the barracks one night partying with all the soldiers, and at that time I was a very, very cheap and quick alcoholic. I mean, by cheap as I would buy the cheapest bottle that I could, and that bottle sometimes would last me about a week. But this one situation, I was stationed in Germany, and I was on a remote nuclear weapons site, and like I said, we as soldiers, we were partying and drinking that night, and I had me a humongous bottle of cherry-flavored vodka, and an argument started out between me and another soldier in the barracks, and next thing I take that bottle of vodka, and I put it across that soldier's head. And, naturally the military got involved, and the following Monday, I found myself in the office of my first sergeant, and, did he lay off into me. And that was back in the older days where, senior sergeants or NCOs in the military can really voice their opinion, the stern way and just not choose their words wisely. I was given an Article 15 and had to lose pay for 2 weeks. I had to work extra duty for 2 weeks, and I was unable to get promoted for 6 months. But that didn't stop you know, definitely that should have been a lesson right then and there. And if I would have learned from that lesson, no telling where my life would have ended. But I still go on, and, you know, here I am in Germany, stationed, young soldier, under the age of 21, and come to find out you're allowed to drink in Germany, being under the age of 21, because the German law was, at 16 years old, they could drink beer. And so I found a group of soldiers that I would hang out with, and we would literally every weekend that we had off, we would either take a taxi or a train or a carpool or get a designated driver. And we would go to a new establishment, going to drink, looking for fights. And as bad as I hate to say it, we were looking for women. And usually we found all three. If not, you know, definitely we would return back to our barracks very, very drunk. Very, very intoxicated. And that stemmed on to me getting drunk on one New Year's Eve, and I was funneling beer. And those of y'all that are listening that know anything about funneling beer, then you know exactly where this is about to go. But those of y'all that do not know what funneling beer is, I first highly recommend that you do not try what I did. But what I did is, like I said, I was funneling beer. You would have a large funnel that you would pour oil or fuel into a vehicle, non-used with oil and fuel, of course, and attached to a hose. And the hose is usually about 3 or 4 foot long. And you take and pinch that hose that was attached to the funnel off to the funnel. And then you would pour your alcohol into this funnel. Then you'd put the draining end of the hose into your mouth, and you would hold the funnel up above your head and literally just suck all the alcohol down. And usually it'd take you about no more than 30 seconds to consume a beer. So, you know, high volumes of this, you got drunk very, very quick. Me, I was happened this night. Like I said, I was in Germany, and we were funneling German beer, and the German beer alcohol percentage is a whole lot higher than the American alcohol percentages. And I started out with one German beer, and I probably got about 5 or 6 of these funnels down and graduated to 2. Then 2 wasn't enough, so we started pouring shots of tequila or whiskey in our beer. I'd say we probably started about 6 o'clock that afternoon, and by 10 o'clock, I was tanked. I was drunk. I was stumbling, yelling, cussing, all the crazy stuff that a young soldier would do at a big New Year's Eve party. Now, we were on the Mosel River, and at the time, I was dating a German girl, and she lived on the river, and so we had a humongous party, a lot of soldiers from my unit, and even airmen from the Air Force base that I was stationed at. We all literally went to this party that my girlfriend had hosted, and she had to work that afternoon, and I think she probably got off close to 8 or 9 o'clock. I really don't remember because I was that drunk and cannot remember exactly what time she got off work. But I go, and I get to the point where she gets home, and she literally tells me, "Billy, you're too drunk. You need to stop drinking." I said, "Hey, this one last funnel, and I'll be done for the night. I don't think I'll need any more." And they go to take the funnel away from me. I get upset. Ended up sneaking back around. One of my soldier buddies hooked me up and made me another funnel. And I go to funnel this beer, and people were seeing me, and I'm trying to run down a stairwell that was probably about 25 or 30 steps. and continue to funnel this beer. I end up losing my balance and falling down these stairs and hitting a rock flower bed on the left side of my body, and I hit very, very hard. At this time in life, I was probably close to about 200 pounds. And when I hit, it hurt, but I had enough alcohol in me to, I guess, to fight the pain off. And I eventually, I'm so drunk, I lay down, I go to sleep, I wake up at midnight, and then with little alcohol, I slept off, and it started taking its toll, and the pain started setting in. Well, come to find out 2 days later from my fall, I ended up breaking my hip, breaking four ribs, and breaking my collarbone. So we fast forward from that a few years later. I'm stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I get into a big fight in the barracks, which, you know, I should have been in the barracks that night because I was married. I should have been home with my wife and stepkids, but instead I chose to stay in the barracks after I got off duty and get drunk with the single soldiers. And I get my wife to come pick me up, go home. And next thing you know, we get into it. And when I say get into it, we get into a fight. Starts off verbal, ends up physical. And next thing you know, Billy's taking his first ride to jail for domestic violence. Probably the only positive thing about that is my ride to jail was the military jail and it wasn't the civilian jail. The civilian police actually turned me over to the MPs and they let UCMJ take its course. And so, lo and behold, I get another Article 15. Well, that started the down stages of the marriage, and it did not end up too well from there. I ended up getting divorced, and hey, in my head, I'm single now. And I go to drinking and drinking and drinking, and it stays this way. You know, through the drinking, I was, you know, masking some of the things that I'd seen in my first deployment in combat. And while I'm married to my first wife, I get a bullied to a combat situation. And that's where, you know, not only do I experience death, I go into the situation of taking the first person's life in my life. And I thought I could handle it. You know, here I am, hardcore, 101st Airborne Soldier. I'm airborne air assault infantryman. All, you know, what we would call the hardcore soldier. I start sinking in the nightmares. And I start reliving the situations. And I say situations because this deployment, you know, it was a rough deployment. Just to give y'all, I guess, a hindsight of what type of deployment is. There was a movie made off of this deployment called Black Hawk Down, and that's the unit I was in. And, you know, like I said, I was in combat, and I had the misfortune to take multiple lives during that deployment. And it hit me and hit me with nightmares and to the point to where I wouldn't go to a psychologist. I wouldn't talk to nobody about it. And I just let it build up. So, you know, naturally the anger, I'm going to take it out on the people closest to me. And unfortunately, my ex-wife and my stepkids received the blunt end of that. And it's the experience that I left them with, and I'm pretty sure they're haunted with the rest of their life. And If, you know, I'm not going to say my stepkid's name, but this will be posted on Facebook, and they'll, if they choose to listen to this, which they are friends of mine on Facebook, I want to, from the bottom of my heart, apologize, you know, for the horrible person that I was and the things that I did to y'all and your mother. It's no person should have ever experienced that, and y'all definitely did not deserve any of that. So I'm sorry for what I did, and I know that, you know, I'm going to have to live with that the rest of my life and definitely answer to the Lord about that. But, you know, like I said, that starts my biggest problem, masking the PTSD. And, you know, it didn't help that, you know, the way that I was raised and things that happened to me growing up. And this is something that I will go into further detail in future podcasts. But just right now, I don't feel that I need to bring all of that out 100%. But I'm sorry, I lost track. But, you know, okay, here I go. I take all that, and like I said, I masked it, and then boom, that's when the addiction started. I should have, you know, sought treatment like I was advised to do through chaplains and cohorts in the military, but I chose not to do that, and that just it started just a devilish person. Then I lost all hope in God, and, you know, definitely did not believe in Him and fought Him the way that I shouldn't have, and it resulted in multiple years of just being an alcoholic to the point that, you know, once I get out of the military, I still, you know, I think I can change my ways in life and do better for society and become a police officer. And even while I was a police officer, I still masked that alcoholism and showed it. And just went on and on and on. And then, you know, all these years through this addiction and masking all of that, I started contemplating about suicide. And I tried it multiple times. Say that I'd do it. Just lucky enough, God was there to say, "Nah, buddy, it's not time. It's something that you don't need to do." Sorry for the hesitation, y'all. It's very hard because this is probably the first time I'm really publicly coming out with a lot of this stuff. You know, through all this, I get remarried, and for several years the marriage was going great, and then I started slipping again. And it goes to, you know, me caring more about drinking alcohol than I did being around my family, being around my wife. And, you know, it even resulted in me having numerous situations with infidelity and stuff like that. I get caught. I go through a horrible divorce, and then just things started getting even worse. You know, to the point that I knew, or what I thought I knew, that, you know, there was no God. And as I said, you know, before, in May of 2016 is when I got my wake up call. And I say wake up call because it was by the form of a phone call. And, you know, that's when things start changing. And as, you know, I'm transitioning my life and I get myself saved, then all of a sudden, my best friend, the guy that I went to every time that I had the urge to end my life, the man that would talk me out of it, he takes his life. And in the past, prior to that, you know, it would just grow deeper and deeper of me not really believing that there was a Lord. But his higher power was there, and he was working on me and still pushing me to where I did one last venture with my alcohol. I had a party out at my place, and it was a UFC fight party, and I invited all my drinking buddies over, none of them knowing that that was going to be my last night to drink. And in my head, I said, I'm gonna get tore up tonight, and I'm not going to drink no more. I even said, you know, to my big brother that night, that, you know, hey, I'm going to get so effed up that I'm gonna leave the party, and we're going to go to a bar, and we're going to get into a big fight. Or I'm going to get into a big fight. Him and a few friends that I had there took notice of that, and they fed me enough alcohol to where I was so inebriated I couldn't even leave, and I wake up the next morning horribly, horribly sick, puking, verge of alcohol poisoning. Then I go and I walk into church, and I get down on my hands and knees, and I tell the Lord, all right, Lord, it's time. I'm here. I hear you talking. I hear you putting things into my head. I'm turning my life over to you, and I'm turning my addiction to alcoholism over to you. And out of nowheres, you know, definitely there was a spiritual feeling that I could feel in my body, and definitely knew that God was there, and you know, he could see that I was starving and needing his love and attention to work on me. And where I'm getting at with this is you know, everybody, addiction, I'd say 90% of the people in the world that are addicted to drugs or alcohol or anything that's mind altering, they do it because they're masking something that they want to hide. They don't want to face it. They don't want to step up and be the man or the woman. And they would rather mask that demon by hiding it and feeding to the devil with alcohol or drugs. And that's what I did. And, you know, as I said, it changes your mind. It changes your spirit. It changes your body. My body changes. You know, after I got injured in 2014, I didn't want to take pain pills that the doctor prescribed me, so boom, alcohol. And that's, you know, how I masked that stuff. My body, I gained weight, gained about 60 pounds. Sorry, y'all probably hear that background noise. I'm driving down the interstate while I'm talking to y'all, and a little loud Mustang decided he's going to kick it past an 18-wheeler. But, you know, where I'm getting at, those of y'all that are listening that has an addiction or utilizes something to mask, to get rid of those problems in your head, that's not the true answer. As I've said in my podcast with my buddy Ron, when I made the transition in life, a lot of people just did not think that was true. They thought it was a joke and thought that you know, somebody had hacked my Facebook and it was real. You know, God grabbed a hold of me and took control of my life and took that urge away from me. And if he could do it with me, I know for a shadow of a doubt, there's not a person in this world that he cannot do that for. Whether you're a friend of mine, whether you're a family member of mine, or whether you're just a stranger listening to this for the first time, give your life to God, and God will take hold of your life, and he'll take that urge away. I'm sorry, just a lot of hiccups, but you know, I wanted to put a podcast out today, and I'm going to end with a verse. This is Mark 12, chapter 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Again, this is Mark 12, chapter 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not part-time, all the time. And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. You'll have to put your mind to it, and you're going to have to put your strength to it. If you do that, and you surrender your life to the Lord, He will reward you. He will reward you very big. My rewards since the day that my life has changed has been phenomenal. I never would have thought in a million years that these rewards would come to me. I found the job, or went back to the job that I loved. I have a wonderful job. My employer is phenomenal, takes care of me tremendously, lets me do my job, and I don't have stress like I used to. You know, another reward is I have my kids back in my life. You know, I'm able to see my kids every day and touch them and hug them and love on them. I've been able to repair a damaged relationship with my daughter. That is something that was my doing. You know, my daughter chose not to be involved with me, not to talk to me, because who I was, what I did to her, what I did to her mother, what I did to her brothers. And the Lord was able to let her to forgive me for what I did to her. And now, you know, not only do I get to talk to my daughter and see her quite often, I get to spend time with my granddaughter. I didn't expect to be a grandfather at the age that I'm at, but I'm a grandfather now. And, you know, being able to see my granddaughter grow up and knowing that her mom allows her to be around me, it's priceless. So, you know, as I said, you know, in that verse, in Mark 12, chapter 30, you have to, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, you have to dedicate that to the Lord. And if you do that, He will reward you. I want to thank everyone for listening. This is, you know, just a little short podcast, something that I wanted to put out on my drive home and let you all know that, you know, that the Lord does love you. I love you. And those of you that are my military and law enforcement first responder friends who are listening to this, I know what you're going through. I've been on your side. I'm still on your side. As a brother, I'm there for you. And the reason why I'm telling you that is during my time frame, I had brothers and sisters that told me the same thing, and I chose not to reach out to them and talk to them. So if you're listening and you're one of those brothers and sisters and you need somebody to talk to and not worry about our conversation going past our phone call or our message, I'm that person. We'll talk. I'll let you know, you know, my thoughts on everything. We'll pray together. If you need a church to go to, you're welcome to come to my church. We would love to see you. But just know, you know, ending your life or resorting to addiction is not the answer. I've seen too many of y'all ruin a career. I've seen a few lose their lives because of that. And that's what we're not here for. We're warriors. We're warriors for our community. We're warriors for our family. We're warriors for God. And we have to have that person that we release those demons to. If you need me to be that person, I'm there for you. PTSD is not curable, but it is sustainable. Yes, I still have my nightmares. Yes, I still have my anxiety attacks. Yes, I still have my mood swings. But with the Lord, I'm able to control all of that. And I know that you can as well. So please, brothers and sisters, if you're listening, you can message me on Facebook. You can message me on Twitter. You can message me on Snapchat. I mean, I had a moment this morning and made a stupid post on Snapchat. And I think after I post this, I'm going to go back on Snapchat and delete it. Because I was just letting depression get to me. God loves you. I love you. I'm here for you. If you're not one of those first responders or military friends and you're just a regular person listening, I still welcome you to reach out to me as well. We'll get through this together if needed. Everyone, thank you for listening. And this was another episode of the Who Was the Real Billy Neely. God bless you.